And welcome back to WGN Radio, the Wintrust Business Lunch. Tom Gimble filling in for John Williams. And remember, when it's the Wintrust Business Lunch, your job is to go open an account at Wintrust and have lunch. So before we have Adam Hughes on, who, as I had mentioned, is CEO and one of the co-founders of Amount, a Chicago tech unicorn, thought we could first, we need to give a little bit of props to our business guru, Steve Alexander, when he throws out Texas Tea in his update that we're getting a Hillbillies reference, Beverly Hillbillies reference.
Can you sing the song?
You know, I can't, but I know about the cement pond, Steve, and I just think that that was something that if you were under the age of, I don't know, I'm 49, that maybe it went over people's head, but a little Jed Clampett never hurt anybody.
Yeah, you're right on the bottom edge of that, the age range for knowing what the Beverly Hillbillies were all about.
Well, when I was homesick, right, the only channel we got was WGN television.
There
right?
you go.
And a little
Chicago's
black.
Chicago's very on.
So that was, I thought you deserved a shout out on that. So then on the Chicago business front, there was an interesting article in the Wall Street Journal over the weekend that I thought was worth bringing up. And it was on how the delivery foods, Uber and Grubhub, Uber Eats, DoorDash, don't make any money. And there was a quote from, and it was a Chicago, Grubhub's a Chicago company, actually, where they're headquartered at 111 West Washington is where I started my company, LaSalle Network. So kind of a small thing there, although they've outgrown us exponentially. But the CEO had a quote that said, delivery has always been a crummy business. And I thought, how random. The producer, Pete Zerman, is looking at me like, why would a CEO say that? And I have absolutely no idea. That a CEO, I mean, it would be like the CEO of a radio station saying radio's a crime. I mean, who would ever say that about the company and the business? Even if you were pivoting to a new line, which they said, oh, we're going to do restaurant marketing. To say that the industry that you're in is crummy, it was just one of those things that we get into leadership. And we'll touch on this with Adam Hughes in a minute about leadership and how you motivate people and the things you say to the press. But it's so interesting that when we've got companies that are so important and significant to Chicago, and we want to have more unicorns and more corporate stories, it's really important for us to have people that represent this city in a great way in their industries. So I thought that was worth hitting on. And now we're going into Adam Hughes. Adam, are you with me?
Hey, Tom. Yep, I'm here.
So Adam is a guy that I've known for a lot of years, having done business with him, and then through that becoming friends. And he has the unique characteristic, and I don't know if there's another CEO, maybe just your chairman, Al Goldstein, who's been the president and CEO of $2 billion valuation unicorns in the city of Chicago. Have we verified that?
I mean, Tom, thanks for having me on. I'm not sure if we verified that, but I'm sure it's a very short list if that's not the case.
I mean, I know you're a happily married guy with two kids, but I mean, that's the kind of stuff you want to market yourself as. Only guy in the city, president, CEO of $2 billion valuation. So tell us a little bit about Amount. What is Amount, the most recent billion-dollar valuation unicorn?
Yeah, first of all, Tom, thanks for having me on. As you said, we've been friends and worked together for a number of years. I had no idea you did this as a side gig. It's not a surprise because I know you love to talk. but what a cool thing to find out here in the last week.
Well, I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I think overall, I mean, we like to do, you know, kind of our business wins due to talking versus us being overly boisterous on a personal level. What Amount does is we are a digital banking platform that helps banks digitize the retail banking experience as well as helping them roll out innovative financing products for their key merchant partners. And so what does that mean? And so many banks, when you walk into a branch experience, they haven't really invested in digital. And especially in the last year, with bank branches being shut down, more and more banks are prioritizing having that full digital experience available that directly replicates what you can do in a branch. And so every bank CEO I talk to really has prioritized digital, and Amount can help them do that in a matter of months versus what many banks would take them years to do.
So it's similar to how back in the day, learning from examples of the old retailers that didn't know how to do e-commerce and they got beat by Amazon, that now what Amount does is fulfill that digital side for the banks and they just partner with you rather than having to invest tens of millions of dollars to do it on their own. You guys are the experts in that?
Totally. I mean, tens of millions of dollars plus, right? I mean, Marcus, which Goldman Sachs rolled out a few years ago, was public that it took them $500 million to roll out that platform. And so if you're not in a large top five money center bank, obviously that figure can be particularly daunting, as well as many of these banks have architecture that's been cobbled together from years of acquisitions. And so Amount built here in the last 2 years, but really incubated at our sister company, Avant, has a best-in-class technology platform, very, very flexible. And so a bank can leverage that to do everything they want to do in, again, a matter of months and a fraction of the cost.
So when you mentioned your sister company, Amount, which is where you were president and chief operating officer of before, was that hard for you to go with the spin-out company rather than Avant to go with Amount? Or were you sad leaving that behind? Or tell us a little bit about the Adam Hughes story of moving over to build Amount.
Yeah, of course. So Avant is a banking platform where what we call a near-prime customer, a customer with a 650 FICO score that really can't get credit from a bank and really been left behind by the banking system. It was really settling for subprime experiences and subprime pricing when they were looking for affordable credit options. And so Avant, we rolled out in late 2012 to provide exactly that, a digital banking experience for that near-prime customer and drive much more affordability to that customer because we didn't have bank branches. We were very successful at doing that. Over a million plus customers originated on the Avant platform, 70 plus NPS scores, 95% satisfaction rates. Over $7.5 billion was originated on the Avant platform.
$7.5 billion of originated loans on the Avant platform?
Yes. And that was without a brand. So during that time, we became really experts around things like performance marketing, fraud prevention, account management, all in a digital fashion. And so in 2016, we recognized that the tech we had built for Avant was light years ahead of 95% of the banks that we were talking to, and really saw an opportunity to white label the technology, meaning we put that in the bank's name and offer it to banks on that basis. And so we did it as a side business. We rolled out some really exciting partnerships with TD Bank, Regions Bank, but very quickly recognized that this was a standalone business and this was a very different from Avant. And so spent the next couple of years in a really healthy fashion, planning for the spin out of that technology, and made that spin out happen January 1st of last year.
That's a fantastic story. So having with these two companies that are tech-enabled, tech-based companies, is Chicago still a good place to be a technology company, a technology founder?
Absolutely. I think, you know, look at the schools for one, right? So you have incredible universities here, Northwestern, U of I, U of C, to name a couple.
I mean, you sound like maybe you might have gone to one of those. Are you just a homer right now?
Went to Northwestern from New York originally, went to Northwestern, and so stuck around. I've been in Chicago for 21 years. So I tell people Chicago's home except for the sports teams. I mean, you have incredible talent here. And so for folks that want to stay in Chicago and don't want to go to the coast, Avant and Amount have both had a ton of success of hiring data scientists and engineers here that want to stay close to home. And so we've had, you know, incredible amount of tech talent that's come on our teams. On top of that, Chicago in the last couple of years, a tremendous amount of venture capital funding has come in play. And so more and more what we call unicorns, companies that have over $1 billion valuation, are here in Chicago. And really believe in the concept of the rising tide lifts all ships. And so really investing in the tech ecosystem here is going to be good for everyone.
And is the fight for talent, especially with work from home, a couple questions. Number one, are you guys ready to have your workers, if they're not already, returning to the office? And number two, in the fight for talent, has it been good for you with remote work that you could get people from all over the country, even though Chicago is a great place for talent and a great place to employ, having a bigger pool? Is that a better thing?
So a couple answers there. So number one, we've clearly made remote work here the last 15 months. And so We spun out our business January 1 of last year. I became CEO in February. Pandemic hits in March. So if you're looking at my LinkedIn, you're like, wow, that poor guy. He was CEO for a month, and now suddenly this giant pandemic hits.
I've never and looked clearly, at you and thought, oh, my God, that poor guy.
But, you know, that those first couple months, like everyone, there was a ton of questions, right? But those questions quickly turned into opportunity for Amount because, again, as I mentioned before, every bank CEO was quickly prioritizing how do they digitize that branch experience and how do they become competitive and buy now, pay later point of sale. And so that, you know, our sales pipeline doubled, tripled effectively overnight, and we got a lot of traction. And so we made the hybrid work well, and we're going to continue to do so. We're going to prioritize quality. But, you know, at the end of the day, Tom, we are still a startup. We've hired 130 people here this in the last 5 months alone, and really do believe that having that in-person contact is going to be really important, especially for onboarding.
I agree
and
with
so
you.
So we've taken a soft approach overall, but now that the vaccines are here, one more temps are here in Chicago as well, I've started to really encourage folks to come back to the office. And we're going to do things the right way, and we're following the CDC guidance. But, you know, especially just being 16 months into a standalone business, we're hiring a ton of people. We have such a massive opportunity that for folks that are here in Chicago or in our LA office, we are really encouraging folks to start prioritizing the office.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, we've got to wrap it up, Adam. It's been great having you on. I'm going to let you do one plug for 2 seconds on your favorite football team. Go.
You know, we had a magical season last year for the Buffalo Bills. I'm excited to go to a couple of games this year, hopefully. But on the Chicago side, I will say, what a fun time to be in Chicago. You have two baseball teams that are crushing it. And finally, some optimism for your Bears, Tom, getting Justin Fields and the team. So I'm excited
there's no better note to end it on a Justin Fields comment. So thanks for being on, Adam. You really are somebody that the whole city can look up to in the business community. And congrats on Amount and all your success.
Hey, thanks, Tom.
Take care.
See you soon. Bye.
And we're back. It must be our day for Northwestern alums. First, Adam Hughes. And now we're going to Jim Dalkey from Chicago Inno. Jim, are you with me?
I am, Tom. Hey, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Great to be with you. I appreciate you showing up without John here with just me. So that was nice. I didn't want to feel like I was being left at a date or I think the kids say being ghosted now. So thanks for showing up.
Of course.
So if we're looking at something that you wrote that just came off the wire, and that is another unicorn. So it's our unicorn day, and I'm not talking horses with horns and rainbows. I'm talking billion-dollar companies. Tell us a little bit about the story you wrote and what happened with Project 44.
Yeah, so just this morning, Project 44, a Chicago-based startup, announced they've raised over $200 million in new funding that values them at about $1.2 billion. So yes, the unicorn herd in Chicago is growing. Project 44 business launched about 2014. They provide software to shippers and third-party logistics firms to help them sort of track their shipments throughout the entire supply chain in real time. And they've landed some pretty major customers over the years, including P&G and Amazon and Starbucks, Unilever, growing like crazy. And another mega funding round for a Chicago business. 2021 has really been the year of these huge venture capital deals for Chicago's growth stage and later stage startups. Project 44's, you know, $1 billion valuation now makes it at least the fifth company in Chicago to reach unicorn status just this year. Continuing 2021's torrid pace of venture deals and high valuations.
Now, that has to be pandemic-related, and I know you're not a logistics expert. You're a business journalist, but we're talking about 15 months from home. We hear all the stories about last mile. What's doing great is lending, right? We just had Adam Hughes on, and Amount and Avant are in the lending and banking finance tech businesses. We have a logistics company, Project 44, so companies that are moving their products and people are buying more from the Amazons in the world and Shopify's and getting stuff delivered to their house due to the pandemic and being locked up. Do you think that these are artificial spikes like Project 44, or is this logistics is here to stay and this valuation, this company will keep getting better? What is your magic eight ball say?
I think this is the real deal, but I do believe that, you know, many of the companies we've seen this year have certainly in one way or another benefited by, you know, the economic conditions that have been created due to the pandemic, right? I think that yes, certainly, you know, knowing and understanding, you know, your logistics and having logistics software is more important than ever, especially given the pandemic. You can look at some of the other Chicago companies that have reached $1 billion this year, you know, Cameo, you know, a celebrity shout out app based in Chicago, you know, they've absolutely skyrocketed, you know, from the pandemic. So a ton of demand, both from on the celebrity side and on the user side, Infusion as well.
Maybe that's where John is today. Software. Pete, is John Williams filming cameos today? Is that what he's doing?
I think you've that's got a big slate of cameos. You got to take the day off. Right?
I mean, yeah. Right? If you're going to do that, you got to get that, you know, $38 a pop and make some side money. So maybe that's where John is. You guys can find, listeners can find out tomorrow. So let's flip another story that I read over the weekend that you wrote. And that was about a company called P33, a former Boston Consulting Group partner, is starting a bit or started a business a couple of years ago to bring back 10,000 tech workers back to Chicago. Now, from what I'm hearing with Project 44 and Amount and all these companies, do we really need a platform to tell tech people to come back here? Don't they know that this is the place to be?
Well, that's a great question. I think at the core of, you know, some of these struggles or challenges that Chicago has is a bit of a marketing issue. You know, I think a lot of people that maybe were here in Chicago 10, 15 years ago think that the tech scene is sort of the same as it was, but, you know, Chicago tech is a lot more than just Groupon these days. And P33, which is a local
company?
Nonprofit. Oh,
I'm sorry, I didn't even know what's that company you mentioned?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. you know, the old green unicorn in Chicago. So, you know, P33 is a local nonprofit and sort of led by some local tech entrepreneurs.
Oh, it's a nonprofit.
Yeah, so this is a local group led by Penny Pritzker and a handful, Chris Gladwin from OC, and a handful of tech folks. And their, you know, real goal is to turn Chicago into a top-tier tech hub. And so their latest initiative is sort of target about 100,000 tech workers who have, you know, grew up in the Chicago area, went to school at Urbana or elsewhere in the city and have left. They're hoping they can convince about 10,000 of those 100,000 to actually return to the city and kind of welcome them back into Chicago's tech scene.
Now, my take is that the two biggest detriments to Chicago's continued growth in the business community, and I'm long on Chicago. If it were a stock, I'd be buying it all day. However, my belief is that the biggest challenges we face in recruiting new companies or entrepreneurs isn't talent and isn't even the weather. It's the violence that exists, and it's the education of the public school systems in downtown Chicago. When you're talking to folks like P33 and the like, do you get a sense of that? Does that ever come up, or am I just off on my own island?
You know, I think the biggest thing that comes up when they're recruiting tech talent is the helping folks understand that there is a lot of opportunity within the tech sector. That's the biggest thing. I think, you know, in San Francisco, when there's a tech company on every corner, if your startup goes belly up, you can just go across the street and get another job at another tech company or get a job at Google or Facebook. There's so much opportunity. I think people don't realize that there's a lot more opportunity in Chicago and that there is a backup plan. So if your job at startup A doesn't work out, there's a plan B, there's a plan C. You know, the big tech companies are all located here as well. They all have offices here. So I think the challenge for P33 and for Chicago is marketing itself as a place that you can really have a thriving tech career, whether you want to be, you know, at a large Fortune 500 tech business, or if you want to work at a plucky startup as well. I think Chicago has a lot more to offer than it did years ago, and I think that's what a lot of folks who left maybe don't realize about the city today.
I agree. I love the city, and I think there are a lot of jobs. We just need to get this violence taken care of and get the education, make sure the CPS is the school system that it is for Walter Payton and the other magnet schools, and then we'll really get people who want to be here. But we got to wrap it up, so thanks, Jim, for being with us, and we are going to head right to Steve Grzanich with the Wintrust Business Minute.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. It's being called a merger of equals. Chicago's First Midwest is merging with Evansville's Old National Bancorp in a deal valued at $6.6 billion. Cranes reports the banks will have dual headquarters in Chicago and Evansville and will operate under the Old National Bank name. First Midwest CEO Mike Scudder will become executive chairman of the combined bank, and Old National CEO Jim Ryan will take the job at the combined bank. The banks have $45 billion in combined assets. Boeing has temporarily halted deliveries of 787 Dreamliners as the Federal Aviation Administration decides whether the company's planned inspection method meets federal requirements. Boeing 737 MAX and 787 have been impacted by electrical and other issues. Boeing resumed deliveries of the 787s in March after a five-month hiatus. The FAA said in September it was investigating manufacturing flaws involving some 787 Dreamliners. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
And now the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Did you happen to see the winner's circle ceremony at the Indy 500?
I sure as heck did.
Elio Castroneves was handed the traditional jar of milk by a woman wearing a spotted cow glove on each hand. Well, here's that woman.
The winner's circle is chaos. That moment, the energy of handing off that milk was so exciting. It was like, I can't even explain how humbling it is to be a part of that.
That's dairy farmer Jill Huyen of Homestead Dairy, a fifth-generation farm near Plymouth, Indiana.
And I had the opportunity to marry in to this dairy farm family. We're milking about 4,900 cows with 14 family members.
Jill has been the designated dairy farmer to hand over the quart of milk to the winner of the last two Indy 500 races. It's part of the winner's drink milk tradition sponsored by the American Dairy Association Indiana that goes back to 1937.
Do you know why, Steve? Do you know why?
Sunday with the jubilant Castroneves, it involves a few swigs of milk and then dumping the rest over his head. But back to the Homestead Dairy, where it isn't just about making milk, they also make electricity.
I just think it's so cool. The family decided to put a methane digester in at the farm, and that actually collects all of the manure and makes enough electricity for 1,000 houses an hour in Plymouth. So many farmers are finding different ways to be more sustainable, and I'm just proud of our family for doing that.
Jill Huyen of the Homestead Dairy at Plymouth, Indiana. Sorry, Tom, I missed what you were saying.
Oh, sorry to interrupt you, but I was so excited. Did you watch the race?
I watched the last 10 minutes or so of it, yeah.
I mean, you know that each driver before the race begins gets to pick what kind of milk they want to drink,
right,
2%
right.
Whole buttermilk?
Right.
Yeah. What would you pick?
Oh, if I'm going to win the Indy 500, I want the whole milk.
Right, if you're going to do it. Or better the whole milk than the whole cow, Steve.
Right. That's it's quite an event. I listened to it on GN Radio, too. Calling the Indy 500 has to be one of the toughest play-by-play jobs that there is. And those guys were awesome.
Yeah, especially awesome. On the radio. It's really tough. But we got our fourth four-time Indy winner.
Yeah,
so that's
how about it? Let's talk about meat. Yesterday, JBS, one of the world's largest meat processors, shut down many of its global operations, including in the U.S., after being cyber-hacked. And that's already showing up in the markets at the Chicago Board of Trade, actually the Mercantile Exchange. We've seen live cattle, those are the cattle headed to the packing plant, down over $2, right now down about $1.75, about 1.5%. At the Chicago Board of Trade, wheat is big. It's 29.5 cents higher. Beans are up about 16. Corn is up about 32 because of a poor crop expected to be coming out of Brazil. And today is National Olive Day. Also, it's National Hazelnut Cake Day. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
And we're back with Amy Goode. Glad to have you on, Amy.
Hi.
Did you have a good Memorial Day weekend?
I did. How about you?
I had a great weekend. I was thinking that since you're a reporter, did you ever get the nickname Amy the Truth Goode?
You know, on my email signature, people always mispronounce my name. So on my email signature, I say Goode rhymes with truth, just so that people know how to say it.
I love that we're on the same wavelength. That makes me feel good. So let's talk. It's Memorial Day weekend, and you were thinking and talking a little bit about the movie theaters and what's going on with the Memorial Day weekend and almost $100 million in revenue.
Yeah, it's been really interesting to just kind of keep tabs on the movie theater industry over the last year. You know, obviously that was one of the casualties of stay home safety, public safety orders and such. So it's, I think a lot of people in the film industry have been really anxious to see what happens. How, you know, you can open a theater, but until people feel comfortable sitting near a stranger, you can't really force them to go. But as we have seen vaccination rates go up, a lot of eyes were on this weekend, and we saw a pretty big box office. the box office overall got in about 100 million. Now, that's not quite like what it was in 2019. So when we're looking at 2019 Memorial Day weekend, it's more like 232 million. So it's not quite there, but that is a big jump and something a lot of movie theaters needed. That's revenue they very badly needed. And I think for the kind of the bigger view here, a lot of people were kind of questioning in the film industry and watchers of the industry, you know, what is it going to look like now that we know we can release a movie to streaming? You know, we saw this with Mulan that Disney released right to streaming to pretty good success. So it is kind of reconfirming for a lot of theaters. And of course, we saw some market reaction on that of, you know, there's still an appetite for people to go to the movies, even though the streaming wars are, you know, cutthroat as ever. Nonetheless, there is still that interest there from consumers.
And there's certain movies that you just look better on a huge screen, or if you're meeting friends that you want to watch a movie together, or the old 16-year-old going on the date, right? I've got a son who I think is looking for a place to go with his girlfriend. So you have these types of things that are important. But with the AMC stock, which has been talked about on Reddit and all the social media of going up, if the movie theaters actually get people in them, I mean, the valuation of that company could go through the roof.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So I think there's a lot of eyes watching the moves right now and seeing how that will go. Yeah, you're exactly right. There are some kind of movies, you know, an action movie at home, unless you have a pretty impressive sound system, it's not going to be quite the same as watching it, you know, with that surround sound in the theater. So I think we'll have to keep an eye on what happens throughout the summer. Do we have the big summer blockbusters? Do they play the same way? Is the interest there in the same way that it is in a normal summer movie viewing, you know, cycle?
And on a 3-day weekend, if you're not going to the movies historically, you're usually getting in your car or jumping on an airplane. So what was the air travel over this weekend and the tour, the travel business like coming out of the pandemic?
Yeah, you know, I think very similar to the film industry, the air travel industry really saw some big numbers. In fact, record numbers throughout the pandemic. So the TSA screened an average of 1.78 million people from Friday through Monday. The peak of that was Friday, just under 2 million people screened on Friday, 1.96 million. Now, that's still quite a bit below. That's about 22% below Memorial Day weekend in 2019, but that's 6 times higher than it was a year ago. And, you know, as we've talked about many times on this station, the travel industry, so much rides on what happens during the summer. And we didn't see that kind of mid-spring, that booking start to happen because there was still so much unknown. So all the airline industry leaders, and there was a conference recently where most of the leaders for the big airlines were all together and in person in New York and talking about, you know, what the future looks like. And they've really changed their tune just from a few months ago, thinking this was going to be a really long recovery. Now that vaccine numbers are up, now that the EU, we're starting to see some conversation there about what travel could look like for different countries, things like that, and hope for some routes. We are starting to see some numbers kind of go up and some real notes of optimism from some airline executives. But certainly, you know, TSA is confirming that with the number of people that traveled over the weekend.
Well, I think we've got to wrap it up. The big guy behind the glass is doing terrible hand signs to me, Amy. You know that better.
He's
than
the
I.
boss.
So thanks for being with us. I'm glad you had a great holiday weekend, and maybe I'll see you in the movie theater or on an airplane.
Right, there you go. Thanks so much.
Absolutely. And so before we sign off, this has been the Wintrust Business Lunch. I'm your fill-in host, Tom Gimbel, for the great John Williams, and we'll be getting his potential cameos soon, and I'm going to talk to him. If not, I'm going to market that. But have a great week, a great start to June. If May 1st is May Day, today is June Day. Have a great June. Thanks for having me.